All right. Happy New Year's, everyone. And it is a Happy New Year, for sure. But to start out tonight, I wanted to see if anybody had left their glasses. Now, if you have, you're probably not going to be able to see it. So you're not sure if they're yours. But your glasses were left in the second row, and so you can get them from me afterwards, okay? If you can find me, all right? All right. Okay. All right. Well, I wanted to just take a few minutes to talk today about being one in heart and mind. That's our theme. That's going to be our focus for 2019, that we are one in heart and mind. Now, you know, when God's people are unified, God's love is magnified and the kingdom is multiplied. Are you with me, church? When the people are unified, God's love gets magnified to the world around us. Look in your Bible in Acts chapter 2, and let's look at some of that one heart and one mind spirit that was in the first church. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter had preached the first gospel sermon, the first sermon that led so many to Christ, some 3,000 to Jesus, and the people responded and they accepted the message and they were baptized. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, the Bible says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord, as a result, added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, when they were devoted to a few things. They were one in heart, they were one in mind, they were one in spirit, and they were devoted to teaching what the apostles taught, the Word of God. They were devoted to teaching the right doctrine. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted and unified and one in heart in their relationships. They were one in heart in breaking bread together, coming together to meet in their worship. And they were one in heart, one in spirit, one in mind in their relationship with God in prayer. When we are devoted, when we are unified in our doctrine, and we're unified in our relationships, and when we're unified in our worship, breaking bread together, in our being together, and then when we're unified in our relationship with God, prayer, God's love is seen, and the result is a message is sent to the world around us. That's what, you know, God wants us to see, the importance of us being of one in heart and one spirit. Look over in Acts chapter 4, and we continue to see the church grow in its unity and its one heart, one spirit. And this is after Peter and John had healed a man. He was over 40 years old, so amen, Mike. You know, you can still be healed when you're older in life. But Peter and John had healed a crippled beggar. And This news was getting all around Jerusalem, and people were gathering, and the chief priests, the captain of the temple guard, the Sadducees, all called them in and said, "What are you doing here? You know, who did you do this? I mean, how did you do this?" And he tells them, "By the name of Jesus Christ, okay, by the power of Jesus, this man is healed before you." All the people were praising God, and then they didn't know what to do with him, so they release him. And then in chapter 4, after they get released, we see that they have powerful prayers together when they tell the people this is what happened. And then we read in verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, and from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. When they were one in heart and one in mind, their love was so strong for each other that they would care for each other in the church in such a way that everybody was taken care of. That is incredible. You know, when God's people sacrifice and God's people put their heart and mind to giving and to sacrificing and to loving, great things happen. And I was praising God here these last few days of the year, just in my prayer time, over and over, for your love and for your sacrifice, as we have prayed all year, that we could help meet needs, that we could love people, that we could be of one heart and one mind and one spirit and one sacrificial attitude, you know, as we were giving to our mission's contribution. And we talked about that we set a goal of $125,000, and first $75,000 going to Boone to support the mission team there, and Tim and Brooke and our brothers and sisters there. And the next $50,000 would go to 6 East African nations that are in such great need. And I just want to, first of all, thank God, praise God for your hearts, for your sacrifice, how you planned that out, and how you gave. And I don't know what the final number is going to be, but with a goal of $125,000, we're already at $129,500. And I praise God, and I praise all of you for being of one heart and one mind and being determined and sacrificing the way you did. It was incredible. We said you had till December 31st to give, and 3 weeks ago, $29,000 was given that week, and then 2 weeks ago, $27,000 was given, and then this last week, I'm not even sure, I think it's already about $18,000 or $19,000 was given. And so You said December 31st is when I can give it, and you went right up until the last day. Amen. But we were of one heart and one mind and one spirit. And it's just exciting to know the souls that are going to be saved, the people that are going to be helped there in Boone and in East Africa. And I can't wait just to hear the news from our brothers and sisters there. And again, I praise God, and I thank you for your one heart and one spirit there. Amen. But, you know, to stay in one heart and one mind and one spirit continually is not easy. Okay? God calls us to that, but it's not always easy. And so, Paul, even after this great start to the church, early on, he's telling the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "Guys, I'm praying for you. I make this appeal." He says, "I appeal to you that all of you would agree with one another so that you would be perfectly united in mind and thought. He wants them to be perfectly united in mind and thought. Because as you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll see that some people were dividing. Some were following Paul. Some were following Cephas. Some were following Christ. Amen. Okay. Some, they were following different personalities already, and they were not of one heart and one mind and one spirit. It happens in the church, right? Then Paul tells the Ephesians, he says, I want you to be perfectly striving, you know, to keep that perfect unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So he tells the Corinthians, come on, guys, we got to be of one heart, one mind. He tells the Ephesians, we got to strive for this. And then he tells the beloved church in Philippi, the one that he loved so much that he had that hand in starting there with just a few disciples, and he had great relationships. But then there were some issues there. And so look over in Philippians chapter 2 real quickly there. And the Bible says, in Philippians 2, he says, Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, this is verse 1, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. That's one-minded, of one mind. He says, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, and do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Okay, here Paul says, there's a couple of things that can ruin our unity or ruin relationships. And there's a couple things really that can remedy it. There's two things that can hurt it. There's two things that can help it. And he talks about when we are selfish, that's going to ruin it. Okay? When it's all about us. And we know we live in a selfie-ish generation, right? This is selfie time right now. Billions and billions of selfies are taken every year, right? And this is crazy. I was reading, and did you know in 1 year, more people died from taking a selfie than shark attacks? More people died from taking a selfie, you know, they're being careless and got too close to this wild animal or too close to the edge, all because of selfies. We are I don't think I have to talk about how selfish we are and how selfishness can come into play and keep us from being of one heart and one mind. And of course, vain conceit, okay, just our pride, our arrogance can also keep us from being of one heart and one mind. But he tells us that, he says, if we can be humble, okay, that can remedy it. He says, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. If we're going to be of one heart, one mind, one spirit, I've got to be humble and I've got to consider you and the next person better than me. Wow. I mean, that's really, when you read the rest of chapter 2, isn't that what Jesus did? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on that very nature of a slave, of a servant. Okay, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He did that for you and for me. He considered others incredibly incredible love, incredible humility. That's what it's going to take if we're going to be of one heart and one spirit and one mind in our church, in our relationships, and in our family groups this year. I've been so encouraged in our family group, and the Jamal and Delise Bright lead our family group on the north side, and it's just been so encouraging to see the brothers and the sisters just really coming together and caring about each other. I mean, in our house church Sunday, it was so encouraging to hear of all the brothers that are getting together with each other, you know, during the week. We have our discipleship group for the men, and the women have their discipleship group. They meet on Tuesday nights twice a month, and the men meet. We meet twice a month as well, and we had been meeting opposite the women on Tuesday nights. But one of the brothers wasn't able to make it because of his work schedule. So it was really cool how all the men said, no, we'll all switch our schedules. And so we are now going to switch it to a Wednesday night so that that particular brother can be there in our discipleship group. Because we want to be of one heart, one mind, one spirit. We want to be together, and we want to be unified. It was so encouraging to hear just the brothers sharing as we were talking about how are we going to be of one heart and one mind in our relationship with God and transforming our minds, right? And how we're going to be of one heart and one mind in our group, in our family group. And the guys were sharing things about being, the guys, men and women, were sharing things about being sacrificial. I want to be intentional in my relationships and my relationship with God. They were talking about, man, when I want to be one in heart and mind with God. As an example, some of them were saying, when I'm with God, I want to be with God. And I thought that was awesome. They were sharing, no, I'm in 2019, I want to make sure that, you know, if I'm giving God 5 minutes, I'm giving God 5 minutes. But if I'm giving God 55 minutes, I'm giving God 55 minutes. I'm not distracted with the phone. I'm not distracted with these things and all this other stuff that's around me. I'm one in heart and mind with God. I want to be one in heart in our relationships. People are saying, I want to be devoted to making sure I'm there at all of our fellowships and our activities and our meetings of the body and of our family group. That's how I can be of one in heart and one in mind and one spirit. I said, amen. These are things that we can all do, you know, to be of one heart and one mind. It was great just to even, we've had some tough things, as I'm sure you have had some tough things happen in your family group and some of the lives of the people there. And we just had, of course, one of our sisters lost her mom. And but to see the group rally behind the sister, be there for her, provide the meals. Again, the one heart, one mind, one spirit. That's what it's going to take. You know, when we're of one heart and one mind, you are actually answering and living out the prayer and desire of Jesus. And when Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified, he prayed not only for the apostles, not only for those disciples, but he says, I pray for all that will believe the word through them, that they may be one as we are, Father. So that they'll know that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And the world will know if they're one that you sent me. When we are one in heart, one in mind, and one in spirit, and we're showing that love in our church, in our family groups, in our relationships, the world, like I said, see, when we're unified, God's love will be magnified. And that's what Jesus says. The world will know it. You know, right here in Philippians 2, when Paul was telling them, hey, these are the things you got to do. Be in humility. Consider others better than yourselves. You know, he starts out Philippians 2 by saying, if you have any encouragement, your translation may say, therefore, okay. But if it's therefore, it's there for a reason. that statement, and it goes back to what was said before. And before that, in chapter 1, Paul says this, in ending the chapter, in verse 27, he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you, okay, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them, okay, that they will be destroyed. Wow. But that you will be saved, and that by God. There it is again. When we are unified, when we stick together, when we contend as one man, one woman, when we're one family group, when we are unified, you know, behind each other, when we're this one church and we show this love for each other, it's a message to the lost world.
Yep.
And that's why it is so important that you understand that, that we need you to decide to be one in heart and one in spirit. Okay, we only have about 7 minutes left in our evening, because we're going to close out at 8:15. So I'm going to try something a little different to close it out. I want you, okay, you can be in a group of three. I'm not going to care if it's two or four, but you know, groups of three, if you can, it's a small group, okay, of fellowship. All right, I'm going to give you about 3 minutes, okay, 3 to 4 minutes. So pick somebody that's around you, and preferably not your spouse or, you know, somebody else, okay? And I want you to share in the 3 minutes, okay, just why is it important to you to be of one heart and one mind and one spirit in the church, okay, and in our relationships. And if you have time, I get both of you to share that, okay? And if you have time, then I want you to share what's one way, okay, that you could strive this year to be more of a spirit of one in heart and one in mind in the church, in the family group, or in a relationship. Okay, you can choose which one you want to share. So why you think it's so important, and then what's one way you could share? You could work on being one in heart and mind and spirit in the family group, in the church, or in a relationship. And then after 3 minutes, I'm going to yell at you or tap the mic or whatever, and I'm going to ask you to switch and find somebody else and get to know them so you can get to, you know, fellowship someone else, and we'll close it out those last 6 minutes with those two fellowships. Okay? All right. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you to find one or two people, get in a group, and when I buzz, it's over. Okay. If you can be wrapping it up and pick one or two more people and share with them those same questions if you can. And that will close out our fellowship tonight. To break this fellowship up for all the parents. Teachers are ready for you to come get your lovely little angels. They are waiting for you. So if you can break up that fellowship and go get your children.